chapter 12. We've been looking at this chapter over the last few weeks. We come to the final section this morning. We're looking particularly at those verses 14 through to 21. As I looked at the verses that begin with those words, "Bless those who persecute you," it reminded me of the terrible time that this church to which this letter was written, was just about to enter into at this moment. See, this letter was written about AD 57 to a church in Rome. In AD 64, of course, Nero began that terrible persecution of Christians in Rome. Before this, there was already some persecution, but it intensified in that period. As we look back on it now, we can see that God, in his faithfulness and mercy, used that time of persecution to actually establish his church. He made his church, his body, strong through the persecution. We also see that it was a time when God's children chose to follow him, whatever the cost, and to practice such teaching as we find in this passage, in these verses. They did indeed bless those who persecuted them. See, many of the Christians who sat down to hear this letter read, many of those same Christians went on to pay the ultimate price for their belief in the years that followed. Many of them were thrown out of their houses and they were beaten. Others had their children taken away from them, and these children were sold into slavery just because they were Christians. Many, of course, were thrown to the wild beast or before the gladiators in the great Colosseums in Rome. They were made a public spectacle of because of their faith. And yet, you know, those who destroyed their bodies recorded that the ones who were martyred had a faith about them in the faiths of death that surprised them. And also, they testified to their graciousness, to their forgiveness, and to their love towards their persecutors. Things which Romans 12, 14 to 21 call the people towards. As I thought about that, I thought, you know, there are Christians today in our world, right this moment, who are facing that same level of persecution. There are people today who are imprisoned because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that these people are truly practicing these instructions that we find in Romans chapter 12. And I know, I feel quite humble about that. And sometimes I wonder why it is that some are persecuted so greatly and others have it so free. And often their faith is stronger, isn't it, than ours. And they're doing more with their limited freedom than we do with all the freedom that we have. Now, having said that, as we come back to the passage, I have to say that, and emphasise to you this morning, that these instructions are also for us. Indeed, their original aim, or the original aim Paul had when he wrote these instructions, was to promote Christ-likeness in fellowships just like ours, as Christians just like you and me. In fact, Romans chapter 12, the whole chapter, shows us that the body of Christ is to impact our world for God. That is why we are here. We are to forward the message of God to the world. And one of the ways we do that is by having the love of Jesus Christ in us. We looked at that last week, verses 9 to 13. But that love must be genuine. It can't be a make-believe love. It's got to be love. It's got to be genuine love to make an impact. That's the first thing. But the second thing that Paul says the church must aim for is what we look at in this section. And it's to aim to react to others as Christ reacted to others. Someone once said to me, you know, the problems we mostly have is not with our actions, it's with our reactions. How do we react when stress is put upon us? How do we react when we're persecuted? How do we react when people do evil things to us? Well, how did Christ react? Because that is the way we are to react too. And therefore, the second thing in this chapter really is, first, our love must be genuine, but then we need to conquer evil with good, because that's what Christ did. And if you look at Romans chapter 12, you'll notice that this is what the last verse of the chapter says. And I believe this is the theme verse of this little section. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Now, overcome is a Greek word which means to have the victory or to conquer. It's actually a military term. And it's a reminder to us that we are in a battle. We battle against the powers of evil. And the fellowship of believers is very often quite a battleground. Sometimes more obvious than others. I think there's some church meetings where it becomes very obvious. But it is a battleground. And we are to overcome evil with good. So how does Paul suggest that we seek to conquer evil with good in these passages? Well, look at the verses. And we're going to have them up on the screen. And he gives us in these verses 8 directions to follow. And I've put these 8 directions into 3 main groups with my toy. And I've actually coloured them. See, you've got that. And you've got that one. And you've got that. That's one group. And then you've got black. And that one. And that one. And then you've got blue and blue. Another group. I'm told I put too much on the screens. But I enjoy doing it. And you can see it all there. So they are the 8 directions into the 3 groups. And the first group I've labelled, and we go on to the next slide now, hopefully. The first group I've labelled as, don't hold grudges. And the 3 directions in this, from the scriptures here, the first one is, bless those who persecute you, bless and don't curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Could you get us a glass of water, please? Is there one there, somewhere? Oh, great, thank you. And the third one is, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Now, what I believe that we see in these 3 directions is an escalation in either bad or good behaviour, depending on your initial choice. See, it begins with the person who you feel is persecuting you. You ever been persecuted? Wow, what does persecute mean? Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because the Greek word persecute actually means, or comes from the idea of pursuing, of chasing after, of hassling, of being on someone's case all the time, and therefore of attacking them. Someone who you feel is constantly getting at you, who's attacking you, who is pursuing you. Whenever you turn around, they seem to be there putting you down. With words or and with acts. When that happens, you now have a choice, don't you? You can curse them. And what does curse mean? It means to call down, to wish that bad things will happen to them, or to call down evil upon them. Or you can bless them. And that word bless is another interesting word made up of 2 Greek words, the word good and the word to speak. So what it means is to speak good words to them or about them. It's interesting, it's a lot about words, isn't it? Persecution can be very much people who keep putting you down, saying nasty things to you as well as doing nasty things to you. And blessing them is about the things you say to them or about them. So you've got this choice. Now, there is no doubt from what Paul says here that the person who persecutes you is in the wrong. Don't try to excuse them. They are in the wrong. And what does the world do when someone is in the wrong? When someone persecutes you, someone hassles you, someone gets on at you, someone's always on your back. Well, it says retaliate in kind. That's the world's way, isn't it? But the way of Christ is to do the opposite, is to bless with your words and with your acts. Now, if you and you have that choice and someone persecutes you, you can give in to the old nature. You can respond negatively. And what happens? Once you do that, you soon will progress to repaying evil for evil, don't you? That's the progression. Talking about them in a bad way. Looking to do the nasty things to them that they are at that time doing to you, or worse. And justifying yourselves because, well, they started it after all. And then so quickly, you move on to the point where you want vengeance. You want them to suffer for what they are putting you through. And this is where grudge bearing takes hold of your life. So you see the choice. If you curse, then you start to repay evil for evil. Before you know it, you want revenge. And revenge becomes a grudge. In the olden days when they used to do battle with cannons, the armies would take their cannons out with them. And they would always have to take a supply of cannonballs, just in case they met someone that they needed to shoot a cannon at. And you know, sometimes bearing a grudge can be like that. You go to see someone and something's rattling in your mind from way, way back, and you've got this cannonball in your pocket, weighing you down. Ready to have a go, ready to react. And often the other person doesn't even know that you're bearing that weight with you, bearing a grudge. What Paul says here, according to the Greek text, is really quite beautiful. He calls them beloved. And that word beloved in the NIV is translated friends, which is a very weak translating. Beloved means beloved. He is saying to them, look, you are the beloved ones. You are the ones. I love you and God loves you too. And he calls them beloved so that they would know this. And he sees the super sensitive ones in the group. You know the ones who get so easily upset? Are you super sensitive? Some of you may well be. It doesn't take much to get under your skin. He sees them. He sees the ones with a lot of bitterness in their hearts. They may not be super sensitive, but once they've been not, they will never forget it. And it will stay there. And he sees those who suffer so much and constantly from the constant attack of others. And I think he bleeds for them. And he says to them, I love you. And God loves you. And because I love you, I'm saying, don't avenge yourself. But give place to God's wrath. In other words, hand it over to God. He is just. Give it over to God's justice. He is the just God. Let him deal with it. Instead, says Paul, I want you to be proactive in being nice to your enemy. How about that? Be nice to them. Don't just not curse them, but actually be nice to them. When they are in real need, he says, when they are hungry and thirsty, these are the basic real need requirements. Look to be the person who is there for them. And the heaping of coals on their head, which is a proverb from the book of Proverbs, is not having a sense of, I don't have to worry about getting my own back because God would do it for me through me being nice, he will make it really bad for them. It's not that sense. It is asking God to use your kindness to make them aware of their sins so that they can come to repentance and find his forgiveness. So that's the first one. Don't hold grudges. The second one, I've entitled, Be First to Reach Out to Others. And it has these three things on it. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Do not be conceited. Do right in the eyes of everyone. It's interesting, isn't it? The previous group was about avoiding the negative. This group is all about pursuing the good things that build community. And you know, if you're truly seeking to do the first, to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, then you will find that the other two automatically follow. I just love that verse, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. And I like the way the Greek puts it. It says, rejoice with the rejoicing one and weep with the weeping ones. I mean, that's a beautiful word picture, isn't it? Weep with the weeping ones. It doesn't tell us to throw a party for those who are joyful. You might want to do that, but it doesn't tell you to do that. It tells you to notice their joy and to share it. Neither does it tell us to fix the problems of the sorrowful. We might want to. It doesn't tell us we've got to do that. It doesn't say that we've got to make everything okay for them. But it tells us that we've got to note their sorrow and to sit with them in their time of sorrow. You know, if that is our aim, and I trust that is our aim in our fellowship, and we're looking to do that, then being conceited is less of a danger for us. See, conceited means thinking of ourselves as above the other in certain situations because of what they are going through. So perhaps you might see their joy as foolishness, as over the top, and you think, ugh, and you look down their nose at them and you're scornful. Or you might see their sorrow as childish. You know, you should just shake yourself and get on top of it. Get over it. And so you kind of sneer at them a bit. It's conceited. So being joyful and weeping avoids that problem. And it leads to the doing right in the eyes of everybody, which literally means providing the good that the joyful or the sorrowful person needs at that time. And to do it as an expression of Christ, as the right thing that he would do. You know, Christ was always the first to reach out to others. Did you notice that when you read the Gospels? I love the story of Zacchaeus, reading it the other day. Zacchaeus, that horrible little tax collector. No one liked him. You know, I've read the story and I noticed that it said of Zacchaeus that he couldn't see, he was so small. He ran ahead of the crowd and then climbed a tree so he could see Jesus when he came past. And I thought, why bother climbing a tree, boy? If you run ahead of the crowd, you can get first to the curb, you know, get the best position, state your claim, you'll be in front. And I thought, not Zacchaeus. When everybody got there, they would have given him a hard time. Pushed him under a local camel or something. That's why he climbed the tree. No one liked him. But Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, because I'm coming to your place for tea tonight. An unexpected guest. What a joy that was. What a joy that gave to Zacchaeus. We gave that joy to Roger the other night. We turned up on his doorstep at 9 o'clock and we said, we're here. Where's the drinks, you know? But it's the joy that Jesus gave. He reached out first to others. I also think of when I read in Mark about the leper. You know the leper? It says that Jesus reached out and touched him. No one touched lepers, but Jesus did. He reached out first. And I think of that wedding in Cana in Galilee. You know that couple there? Jesus went along to share their joy. He rejoiced with those who rejoiced. And when their joy was about to be shattered because they were going to run out of wine unexpectedly, he was the one who was able to change things. He rejoiced with those who rejoiced. He was the first to reach out to others. Don't bear grudges. Be one of the first to reach out to others. And then we come to the third group. And the third group I've entitled Make Peace Your Priority. Time out of chance. See? Make peace. I've got to play with this. I've got to get used to it. And there's only two directions in that one. The first one is this. Live in harmony with everyone. Don't be stuck up. Don't be proud. You know, the second one is, if possible, live at peace with all. I believe, as I said, this is a section where you've got to really, really work hard. The devil loves to create disunity amongst believers. He loves to take peace away from a community. Living in harmony with fellow believers, especially as well as others, can only happen when we refuse to see ourselves as superior to others, but go out of our way to associate with everybody, and especially those who would otherwise perhaps be even looked down upon. There is also a sense here of not despising to do even the most menial task. Remember when I became a pastor, I made a goal for myself that as a pastor I would always be part of everything that I ask anyone else to do. And I've always tried to get to the working bees. And I've always tried to be on the church cleaning roster and other things, because I think that's important. That we do that to make the harmony within the fellowship. And the other one is an interesting one. He says, live at peace with others as much as you are able. Of course, living at peace with those who just want to make war can be quite impossible. Especially when you are in Rome and being persecuted for being a Christian, that was very difficult. But even in a fellowship, sometimes you can come across the other person who always seems to be, you know, what it's like. And the Lord says, as it's possible for you. The Lord expects us to do all that we can and then leave the rest to Him. All this is about conquering evil with good. And that's a challenge for us. Always is. Challenge for us as we go into 2007. And the example for this is the Lord Jesus Christ. His power and the power of the Spirit working through us. Notice that the word for today, we've got some new ones ready for February out there, if you'd like to pick them up this morning. But for Australia Day, I don't know how many of you read it, there was a story back from 1861. A noted chess master named Paul Murphy attended a dinner party in Richmond, Virginia. While he was there, he noticed that on the wall there was this picture of the devil in a chess game with a guy for his soul. And it seemed by the picture that it was obvious the devil was about to win and good would overcome, or evil would overcome good. And this fella, Paul, said to his guest, you know, I reckon I could beat the devil at that game. And they said, no, it's painted so that the devil wins. So they got their chess pieces up, evidently, and he played the move, and he beat the devil. And the message was, there are times when it looks in our world, in our nation, in our country, that evil must triumph, doesn't it? But God has the last say. Good will overcome evil. And what He calls us to do on a local scale, God will do and is doing in a global scale. And the greatest time when our evil will be overcome when the Lord returns in glory. And that's what our last song's about this morning. At that time when the Lord will come back and good will be seen to overcome evil forever. So let's the musicians come up and we're going to sing together. Final song this morning. Number 53 in the grey folder. These are the days of Elijah. Why are we getting ready for that? I mentioned last week that